are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to A Healthier View. I'm your host, Chris Summers, along with your co-host, Beth Sims. And we are super excited to be here today and are looking forward to opening up discussions over all things health. You can find our show by going to www.uptomeradio.com. You can also search for Up to Me Radio channel on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. I'd like to thank our sponsor today. Check them out at www.atlma.net. That's Atlanta Life Media Agency, where connections are made. If you'd like to join the conversation, and audience participation is our most cherished part of the show, you can reach out to us via email at ahealthierviewpodcast@uptomeradio.com. I'd also like to put a plug in and encourage you all to stay tuned for our final segment. We will have a guest host, Susie Craig. She will tell her story about her illness and the road that she's taking to recovery. Super interesting, and I encourage you to stay through to that final segment to meet Susie. Well, Beth, I know you're just as excited as I am.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think the thing that excites me the most is, you know, to let our audience, to let our listeners know that they can reclaim their health and people can live the life that they've always wanted, full of energy, focus, and vitality. And so that's, gosh, this is what I was born to do. So spreading the word about health and wellness. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so excited to be doing this with a friend. I've known you for, what, 5 years?
Five or six years. It's been a while. And so yeah. Super excited to, and it's always great to be with you. You have so much energy, and so many words of wisdom. And I've really, you know, I say this, I'll put my plug in for Beth Sims, and that Beth, I've seen you, work miracles in people's lives and change lives, and you've changed my life in a lot of ways as well. And so I want to thank you for that. I know the people that you reach out and touch are super grateful to have you in their lives. So, well, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, actually going into this new podcast, this new show, and with you is exciting. And I did a show a couple years ago I started. So I think a lot of the listeners that are going to be coming back already know about me. But for those new folks out there, have my degree in kinesiology and business management. So I basically started off as a senior program director at a little tiny YMCA in southern Indiana. And did that and loved it. I loved the whole not-for-profit feel and putting together treadmills with bubblegum and Band-Aids and fundraising. I loved those efforts, but got into corporate wellness and really found that this was my calling, working with healthy people, making them healthier, and working with families, building that whole, you know, strong community, strong families, strong employees was really my calling. And as it pertains to health and wellness, I know that not only my coworkers, but people are really capable and deserving of anything and everything wonderful when it comes to their spirit, mind, and bodies have to offer. And again, I just really love to be a part of that process and that journey. And health and fitness and wellness has always been my passion and purpose. So, and work without purpose is punishment. So I am on the right track.
Well, again, I've seen you in action, and it's very impressive, and I've always enjoyed being your friend and working with you, and super excited to be a part of this with you as well. My background, I've spent a little over 18 years in healthcare, various parts, mostly sales and marketing, and so I've had the opportunity to see, we all have, and I think we've become more aware of it just as everyday average individuals that aren't necessarily in the healthcare field, it just mm-hmm. how much healthcare is changing.
Absolutely.
And has changed over time. So I started off many years ago in the Austin area in orthopedic device cells and moved into pharmaceutical cells from there. Spent 12 years in pharmaceutical cells and then get to meet you through a startup company that we participated in together, US Telehealth. And we did some really, I think, neat and innovative work there where we saw patients utilizing just really amazing technology in telemedicine. And so really enjoyed learning that field. And you and I met and spent a lot of time in the energy sector, oil and gas, and met some very interesting people. And so that's where you and I met, and I really enjoyed that. Did that for 2 years, and then always had a passion and always had a there was always a need for more behavioral health.
Oh, absolutely. That's a tough one. That's really, really a tough one when it comes to the spirit and the mind and behavior change. That's tough.
It is. And, you know, it's interesting because it was always interesting to me and still is, you know, what came first, the behavioral health issue and then, you know, being unhealthy you know, the other way around. It really goes both ways. I mean, something can happen, a life-changing moment, and it could lead to a behavioral health issue of some sort, but also, you know, you can get in a sort of a rut or a funk, you know, a sort of a life-changing moment there, and it leads to becoming very unhealthy, and you make unhealthy lifestyle decisions. So
exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah. And so, but because it is such a, there aren't enough healthcare individuals out there that are focusing in behavioral health. And so utilizing the technology again, back into the telemedicine world, we used telemedicine to reach out to individuals where they normally wouldn't get the type of care that they needed. Rural areas, certainly. Prison systems, which was
the Gulf of Mexico.
Super interesting. Absolutely. And the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. I think you and I worked with a rig that was a little over 300 miles out into the Gulf of Mexico. It was, they always said it was closer to the Yucatan Peninsula than it was to,
oh, wow. I didn't know that.
To, the United States. So, but through that technology, and internet technology, it was just pretty amazing stuff to provide care and help people in areas that, like that, that they just normally not get help at all.
And you know, I've never met somebody, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never met someone ever saying, I don't want to be healthy. Now, I've had people say, I'm not going to give up certain habits, maybe smoking or you know, drinking pop or whatever the case may be, but I've never had someone say, I don't want to be healthy. So yeah, that's people, then, you know, we want to live healthy lives. It's sometimes that piece of puzzle. They just need a little push, a little coaching, and you know, the sky's the limits.
Well, you know, it's difficult too. I mean, it's a constant struggle. It's always been a constant struggle for me in life. And we have some questions, sort of the Ask Chris and Beth segment that goes into and really looks at and digs deep into diets. And, you know, the word diet is just a bad word.
It is.
You know, I've tried many diets, and I have failed at many diets. I'm great at starting them.
Okay. Like the majority of people. Do you remember that old cartoon Garfield? He used to have, cause he was like a big lasagna and cookie person. And he used to say diet is die with a T. So when I think of diet, I think of Garfield die with a T.
That's great. Yeah. No kidding. So, and it just harder. I mean, it really tests your willpower. And, but why don't we do this? Why don't we jump into some questions from some of our viewers?
Sure.
And our listeners, and let's go through them. And I'll ask the question, and then like to get your point of view on it, and using your knowledge, background, and education. And I'll chime in as well.
Okay, very good.
So our first question comes to us from Billy Marsh. And he writes, there are so many fad diets out there, and the ketotonic, you can say that word probably better than me, ketotonic diet seems to be the rage. What are your thoughts about this diet?
You know, you're right. There are so many diets out there. I mean, it's all started with, you know, low sugar, low fat, you know, the paleo diet, the Atkins diet. But the keto diet is basically this: getting carbohydrates under a certain amount, typically, I'm going to say 40 grams per day, where we can force our body to use only fat for energy. And what happens in that state, glucose or sugar goes down and it starts to metabolize fat. So the cells start to use fat and gives off something called ketones as a byproduct of fat metabolism, breaking fat down for energy. So those ketones are actually needed for your brain because your brain can't use fat for energy. Your brain needs ketones, and other cells in our body use these ketones as well. So as the glucose drops, ketones rise to make up that energy difference, which is what the brain needs to function. Plus, ketones have a lot of other major benefits on our body. We know that it turns on the CERT gene, which is C-E-R-T, which is a longevity gene. Ketones also decrease inflammation. It burns extremely clean in the cells, so it lowers oxidative stress in our cells. So if you're kind of sick, and I'm not talking like really, really sick, but if you're kind of sick and you do the keto diet, you're actually going to help your body heal, and that way it can be beneficial. But again, like I said, if you're pregnant or have certain diseases, you may need more calories throughout the day. So ask your physician or functional medicine or wellness practitioner if this type of diet would benefit you. But Chris, one thing I wanted to say is when you look at our ancestors, we know that they went in and out of ketosis many times throughout the year just because the lack of resources and food. They just weren't eating as much as we do nowadays. They didn't have the Pizza Hut. They didn't have the McDonald's. And they would often go into this ketosis state. And it's actually researched that in this state, healing would occur. And I read an article, years ago, about the Hunzu tribe. And scientists and doctors report that the Hunzu tribe lived longer because of their diet variation and going into ketosis. And a matter of fact, the Hunzu people often lived to be like, I'm going to say 100, 120 years old, barely sick a day in their life.
Wow.
So you may, I know, right? So you may be asking yourself, how is this? Why is this? But if you think about it, in the summertime, this tribe were vegetarians. And in the winter, and again, all they ate, meat, fat, dairy fat, and they ate very little carbohydrates. But in the spring, they actually almost starved themselves, not because they wanted to. They would often go up to 40 days without food, and it was called starving spring. And in those days, they had to do it, and it actually became part of the culture where they would go into ketosis. And like I said, in ketosis, glucose goes down, ketones go up, and amazing stuff can happen on a cellular level. But so I'm actually a proponent of the keto diet if you're basically healthy and you just want to kind of like freshen up, let's say, your cells, so to say. So no more than maybe like 5 days at a time, I would say. But again, I think it's out of all of the fad diets, this is something that has gone back for years and years and years. We just didn't know it.
Well, I still can't get past the no McDonald's or no
I know.
And you know, this, you know, a little bit off topic, but so I have two kids. I have an 8-year-old mm-hmm. daughter and a 14-year-old son, and we're constantly on the go. And so, you know, fast food, you brought up fast food.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so terribly bad for you with the additives and preservatives and there's
trans fats.
Mm-hmm. You can't really find, you know, that, you know, now everything's on the menu, shows you how many calories, but you know, really you have to dig deep to find out where all the bad stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that surprises me is that it's actually less expensive to eat fast food than it is to sometimes cook a meal. And that's difficult for us being on the go all the time.
I know. You know, it's just a lot of planning. And this is what I tell people. I get this question all the time. I mean, I work in the oil and gas industry. So when I work with coworkers, they're like, I'm up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't get home sometimes until 8 o'clock at night. Hello. So it's just a lot of planning. It really is. I would rather skip a meal than actually go to fast food. I mean, that's right. Personally me. Just the quality of food and the beef and the chicken. And, you know, some trainers, some wellness professionals will say fast food, you know, once a month is okay. Some trainers and wellness professionals will say at all cost, never, never, never. So you're going to have to find what works for you. We certainly don't want your kiddos to be hungry and go without. But there are some healthier options. Packing your food, if you're going to and from, just take that container and gluten-free bread with a really good quality turkey or chicken or roast beef or something like that, and carrots. So there's things you can do. You just have to really plan, and it does take some time and it does take money. But I personally think, you know, let food be your medicine. That's kind of the philosophy in my life right now. So, you know, again, you're just going to have to see what works for you, and maybe tell the kids, hey, we're going to start doing fast food once a week instead of every day when we're really busy, or twice a month, and then kind of
right.
Tell them, educate them about the hazards of the food. And they may look at you and say, right, Dad, it's yummy, but they're kids. And I tell you what, I love me some Taco Bell, but I also know that I love Taco Bell.
Well, interestingly enough, that is my kid's favorite fast food restaurant. We skipped straight past McDonald's and went to Taco Bell for some reason. So, well, this next question really, since we're talking about fast food and detox from the fast food, this is a really good question, I think, to move on with. And the question comes from Leslie Major. Can you go into detail about healthy ways to detox and why it's so important? And I'll start with probably not eating Taco Bell, right?
That's going to be one. Okay, number one, don't eat Taco Bell. You know, before I go into detoxing, I kind of need to make two disclaimers, because it can be dangerous if you have a lot of toxins or heavy metal buildup in your body. So again, ask a practitioner before you dive into a detox program. And we have friends that are doctors, and I know that this is something I don't agree with, but because most doctors will tell you your body will detox itself. But I disagree. And simply, that isn't true. Maybe 200 years ago, when we didn't have the preservatives and all the heavy metals and all of the trans fats, maybe that was true then. But I truly feel on some level, we need to detox from time to time. It's how you do this that's important. And the other thing I want to mention, again, before diving into detoxing, is if you decide to detox by rebalancing your body, your organs, and your mind, you really need to think about your lifestyle going forward after the detox. Okay, think about it like this. Think about four R's. Removing is number one, and if that's, which is detoxing. And if that's all you do, nothing happens from there. I mean, if that's all you do. What I mean is, R number two is kind of regenerating the cell membranes or your body. Mm-hmm. There's also an inner mitochondrial membrane that we need to actually make energy, which is R number three. And that's restoring cellular energy. And our number four is reducing inflammation. So the bottom line is, if you don't restore with healthy things and reduce unhealthy things after a detox, which is removing unhealthy things, then it's kind of all a moot point. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It sure does.
Okay.
And so the next question.
So I'm going to go into different ways.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm not even done. That was like my disclaimer.
It makes perfect sense. But I was just looking ahead to the next question, and it's completely set up with the last question. So I won't jump ahead. Not still in the future.
Okay. That was my disclaimer, and I know it's kind of wordy, but gotcha. Ways to detox. Dry skin brushing, which is really good for lymph drainage and your skin, which is the largest organ you have outside of kind of the gut system. Mm-hmm. But if you don't break those up, but anyway, so dry skin brushing, not wet skin, but drying. What you do is you take kind of a natural soft brush and you just kind of brush over your body with small whisks, like start at your hands, you know, and then turn over in the palm of your hands and then your forearm and up to your upper arm and underneath your arm, which is where a lot of the lymph nodes are, your neck, which is where your thyroid is, and the back of your neck, and then your legs and your groin area, which is kind of goofy, but these are all important areas, and women are breast. You know, dry brushing your breast or massaging them to get that lymphatic drainage going. So that's a really good way to detox. Another good way is infrared saunas, which stimulates toxic fat and makes you sweat. You know, toxic fat is fat we don't need. This is around your belly, your hips. And as we get older, we're susceptible to fatty liver disease and so forth. So increasing your core temperature is a great way to detox from toxic fat as well as heavy metals. The sun is the ultimate infrared ray. So if you don't have a sauna, the sun is a great way to get vitamin D as well as infrared. But if you choose an infrared sauna, the temperature should be, I would say, between 100 and 150 degrees. If you sit in the sauna, make sure when you get out, you wash off the toxins in a shower. And I recommend people doing this 1 to 3 times a week for a short amount of time and work your way up to 30 minutes. I don't recommend any more than that because excessive heat can really affect your kidney and your adrenal function. So just a couple more. We know that exercising is really good for detoxing. And I'm not talking the long, intense hour training for a marathon, but I'm just talking about short bursts, you know, jumping rope for 2 to 3 minutes and then resting and doing that maybe 2 to 3 times a day. And it doesn't have to be, because I know time is a big thing for people. They say, I don't have 30 minutes to go to the gym. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. You can do 10 minutes here, there, 5 minutes counted throughout the day. 30 minutes is ideal. You're not going to have that afterburn where you're burning more calories if you do the short 5-10 minute bursts, but that's perfectly fine when it comes to detoxing. Another one is called rebounding. Have you heard of that?
I've never heard of rebounding.
No. Okay. Rebounding is fun. Your daughter would love this. It's fun. Okay. And your son would too. But basically there's a couple different ways you can rebound. You can go out and buy like a little inexpensive trampoline from a sporting goods store, or even like a Walmart. I think you can get like just a small trampoline and you bounce up and down on it. You know, again, 5 to 7 minutes a couple times a day is fine. Or you can get one of those big exercise balls that you see. A lot of people use them as ergonomic chairs, but you can actually get an exercise stability ball and kind of bounce up and down. And it's fun. It's like you're a kid again, you're playing. So just kind of bounce up and down. Don't bounce off. Don't hurt yourself. But while you're watching TV, again, 5 to 7 minutes, you know, once a day, that's fine. Epsom salt bath and baking soda baths is a great combo. And the reason that is the magnesium sulfate in Epsom really is amazing because it has sulfur in it. So we have the magnesium and the sulfur are much needed minerals we need to detox. And in today's world, we typically don't have enough of them. I'm a big believer in the hot cold technique, which basically is taking like a hot shower, a really hot shower. Don't burn yourself, but a hot shower and then turning off all the hot water with the cold, you know, for like 5 seconds and then alternating hot, cold, Or you can take kind of just a mediocre warm shower and then blast it with like 5 to 10 seconds before you get out of cold. So I'm a big believer in that. And then I think the last thing is food and drinks. I mean, water is absolutely the best way to detox. You want to drink half your body weight in ounces of water every single day. You can also put like some lemon oil, like essential lemon oil, lemon juice in it. And that kind of enhances the detox process in your lymph nodes. Also cilantro, aloe vera, flax seeds, chia seeds, and prebiotics, which is a fiber. Those are great foods to help the detox process. And then there are supplements, but I don't really feel comfortable going into that on the show in particular right now, but there are supplements that can help with that. I don't want somebody running out and Beth said to get this, and which can be dangerous, right. Like I said.
Well, so, you know, I see a lot of, let me call it detox in a can. Supplemental vitamin supplements, powders, shakes, things like that. There's certainly a lot of them out there.
There are, and some of them are great. Some of them are great. Just do your research, talk to your practitioner. If your doctor's not on board with that, find a functional medicine practitioner and do your homework. And I guess the last thing I want people to know, if you decide, and again, I think everybody needs to detox, but know that you're going to feel icky. You're just going to feel really crappy when you're, you know, maybe you're going to have a little headache. You're going to feel maybe a little nauseous while you're detoxing because you're neutralizing those cells. But if you feel really, really bad, like, oh my gosh, I can't get out of bed, like you have the flu, then stop. Stop the detox. That's a really important aspect too, because you might be doing too much, which is right. Just that, you know, and you don't want to do that. So.
Well, that's great advice. And, you know, to know ahead of time what it, you know, you may experience flu-like symptoms or just not feel yourself. That's great to know because you wouldn't want to stop pushing through unless it got to the point where you just couldn't get out of bed, like you said.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. That's not good. That's not good. Do your research.
Yeah. Eventually it's going to lead to feeling a whole lot better.
Absolutely.
That's the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, very good. Now, anything else on detox?
No, that's all. I mean, that was a lot.
I don't think we need any more. I mean, that was
so have you ever detoxed? I want to ask you that. Have you ever tried it?
I have never detoxed. No, I looked into it about a month ago. I would like to, but you and I are going to have to chat offline on, when I was looking into it, I went to a local pharmacy. And it's a local compounding pharmacy here in the Wonderful. Austin area. And they really are pretty good, but I think I got some bad advice. And it was almost as though they were pushing different products on me. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that feeling. And so, you know, I wanted to seek out. And then you hear from your coworkers and friends, oh, I detoxed. I did this. This is wonderful. I just want to make sure that when I do it, I do something that's right for me. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely. So I have not, but I want to, and, you've now motivated me to do it. So
well, good. So yeah, I'm a huge believer in it, but you've got to do it smart. You got to do it smart.
And I'm assuming red wine is probably not in the, detox plan?
You know, I'm going to say alcohol in general because it raises estrogen. Again, pick your battles, pick your poison kind of thing. I'd rather you have wine than sugar per se. So, but the nitrates and it's just, you know, see, but they have some really good organic wine that is actually made in stainless steel drums as opposed to, the wooden and things like that. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. You can have some red wine and I'm not a gal that's going to say everything in moderation. I'm not going to do that. But I think red wine, every once in a while and through the detox, but you could go a few days with that red wine. Come on.
I think I could. So
yes, you could.
You know, okay. And every time that I've been serious about, you know, say losing weight and I know the goal of a diet is not just losing weight. I mean, yes, you know, losing fat, gaining muscle, of course, is healthy. But, you know, just to lose weight for the sake of it, I've never really bought into that. But every time I've been successful with it, I've stopped drinking completely.
Yeah.
And you know, say, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And that is really, you know, it's really made a huge difference. I mean, it makes a huge difference in what I eat and when I eat as well.
Exactly.
Well, let's move to this is the final question
that okay.
comes to us from Cindy Neiman. And she writes, what are your thoughts on fasting? I've always heard 3 square meals a day is the best and healthiest and only way to live. But my sister does a water fast 4 times a year and swears by them. So what are your thoughts there?
Okay. There are so many different types of fasting. I would like to ask if she actually does a 1 day water fast, which actually Dana White does. I don't know if you know that. And Mormons actually do a water fast the first Sunday of the month because it is somewhat healthy. But there are so many different types of fasting. There's block fasting, which is kind of severe, not on my radar that I would ever do. But this is where you go 4 or 5 or even up to 10 days on just like beef stock, water, or even like whey water. There's intermittent fasting, which I like a lot better and is easier for people to do. But intermittent fasting is where you don't eat for, you know, let's say 16 to 20 hours. You're putting your body in a state without food. It was kind of like our first question, kind of piggybacking on this, but the body starts to eat up the bad stuff and good stuff can start happening. There's also the Daniel fast, which I know is pretty popular in kind of the religious realm, but this includes many Bible foods that support healing. And I think we all know that fasting was kind of a natural discipline that Moses and Job, Peter, Paul, and even Jesus fasted. In fact, they didn't just fast for a day or two, but both Jesus and Moses fasted for like 40 days, which I don't recommend, but I know, right? But the Bible is filled with something like 70 references to fasting and how healthy it is for you. And over the last several decades, fasting has disappeared from society, and it's only beginning to become more popular today. But anyway, fasting isn't all about calories. In fact, it isn't about calories at all. Fasting, whether it be a block or intermittent fasting or the Daniel fast, they're all about just kind of with not having food for a chunk of time. So, but be aware, you can have some pretty unpleasant side effects, just fatigue, headaches, weakness, and following a long-term fast can also increase the likelihood of nutrient deficiencies. So I would personally suggest sticking again to probably the intermittent fasting to like one cycle per month, maybe like for a week out of the month, or do the water fast 1 day out of the month and consult with a doctor, a dietitian, a wellness professional if you have any concerns about meeting your nutritional needs. So, you know, and again, more research is needed on this. Maybe I'll be that person. But preliminary studies have found that short-term fasting, you know, can help increase our vitality, decrease cholesterol, diabetes, blood pressure, improve cognitive health, and alleviate inflammation and amp up fat burning as well as losing weight. So a little more research needed to go into it, but I think fasting, again, as long as you're smart with it, is not a bad thing.
So, you know, 40 days is extreme.
I don't recommend that. Again.
So when you fast, for instance, what's a typical amount of time you'll fast for?
What I do, and when I work with someone who needs to lose more than 20 pounds, what I'll do is I like to reset their hormones for 3 weeks, and then I tell them to do intermittent fasting. So they're only going to eat between, let's say, 11:30 and 7:30 in the day. So basically, they don't have breakfast. And I know I'm probably going to get some haters out there saying breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I'm going to say why.
Bacon, sausage, right?
Yeah, don't even get me on pork. But you know, but that's so not true. We are eating so, not only the caloric intake, but the quality of food, but we're just eating, you know, just through too much throughout the day. So, now if I work with someone that is like, I have to have breakfast or I can't function, then their intermittent fasting will basically be, you know, 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. So I encourage people to have like 8 hours where they eat, and then the rest of the time they don't. For me, it's going to be, I want lunch and dinner, and only, I really want you to do this for, you know, like 5 days in a row. I don't want you to do this continually. Now, I know there's some trainers like Tony Horton. This is how he lives. Dr. Axe, this is how he lives. They're kind of my wellness, you know, people that I go to. JJ Virgin, I love her. She is a huge proponent of intermittent fasting. So I recommend, you know, 5 days, 7 days at the time, you know, and then go back to normal eating, and then doing that maybe once a month. So that's what I do.
Well, I have a terrible habit in that I will not eat breakfast. I will forget to eat lunch. And then I come home and I'm just so hungry that I eat way too much at that one setting. And so I really have to discipline myself to, you know, we talked about the 3 square meals a day, but, you know, I've also, you know, you probably eat 5 meals a day, small meals, or?
You know, sometimes if I'm not doing the intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. to keep my blood sugar kind of stable, I'll do, you know, 3 meals and 2 snacks. So I'm definitely, what works for one, there's not a one, I mean, again, one plan isn't going to work for everybody. So I definitely think keeping your blood glucose and your sugar levels with the 3 meals and the 2 snacks is healthy if you're not doing the intermittent fasting. So
yeah,
absolutely. I think having one huge meal, because you're going to like, your tummy is going to like really expand, and it's going to be wanting more food and more food, and you're not going to be able to break down the food efficiently if you just kind of have one huge meal a day. So
I can really feel my blood sugars dropping, you know, around that 5 o'clock hour, whenever.
Oh, of course.
And it really does feel miserable. And, you know, I kick myself. Why didn't you eat today? So, well, that's great. Thank you. You're just a wealth of knowledge, Beth.
Oh, I love this stuff.
I love these questions. And I encourage everyone out there to, again, reach out to us via a Healthier View podcast at uptomeradio.com, and throw your questions out there just like these individuals have, and we're going to be happy and just love to answer those on the radio.
Yeah, and if we can't get to all of them, Chris and I can answer them on the side as well. So if you email us, we will answer your email, and we might even showcase it on the show.
Absolutely. Well, Beth, with that, we're running out of time on our first segment and need to head to a commercial break. And after the break, everyone stay tuned, because we have a special guest, Susie Craig. She has just an amazing story in her life, a health, really struggle in health, but looking to, and actually is working with Beth right now to change some things around in her life and to become healthier. And I think, you know, her message and her testimony to us will be well received. And there's going to be some nuggets in there for everybody. So we're really looking forward to that. So with that, we're going to move to a commercial break, and please stay tuned.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Healthier View with Chris Summers and Beth Sims. It's good to have you along. Coming out of the commercial break, I would like to introduce a special guest who's with us today. Her name is Susie Craig, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her quest through life and health.
and some things that she's working on right now. So, Susie, tell us about yourself.
How are you guys doing today? It's good to be here.
Oh, doing great. Thank you.
Great. Pardon me while I'm fighting a cold, so I sound like maybe a boy going through puberty right now. excuse me so much. But I am a, let's just say, an early middle age woman who has gone through a few different health issues as I've gone into my late 30s. One of them is I am a breast cancer survivor of 6 years. Yay. And it's through that process and through some of the testing and probably some of the surgical procedures and so on and so forth, my health has taken a little bit of a decline on like cholesterol, triglycerides, you know, important things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I am actually looking to kind of readjust my diet to improve my triglycerides and to improve my cholesterol. So that's kind of where I'm at. You know, of course, getting in shape and losing a few extra pounds, as we all could probably afford to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at currently.
Well, you know, the neat thing, and I want to let our audience know, is Susie is my cousin, and I'm so very proud of her. And when I was talking to her a few weeks ago, about her blood work, about her triglycerides and her cholesterol, and wanting to take off a few LBs, like so many people want to do, we decided this would be such a neat segment for the show. So we're going to actually have Susie on as a reoccurring guest, like every 6 weeks, to actually talk about how she's doing the struggles. Because if she's struggling with someone, somebody else out there is struggling with the same thing. So we want her to be kind of our flagship person that we're working with. So what we're doing is Susie actually on February the 1st, started a diet plan to reset her hormones to get that cholesterol down, to get her triglycerides down, and to ultimately lose a little bit of toxic fat and weight along the way. But the 7 foods that she is staying away from, Dr. JJ Virgin is one of the people that I really look up to, and I actually got this diet from her. It's reset your hormones. Dr. Sarah Gottfried is actually a big supporter of this as well. But the foods that she's staying away from are corn, all forms of corn, corn chips, corn flakes. Like that means no nachos, Susie, no nachos. It's just not the corn in the can. No popcorn, no high fructose corn syrup, anything that has corn in it, she's going to stay away. Also soy, because we know soy raises estrogen. Sugar. My motto in life is sugar is the devil's poison. Gluten, which is wheat, barley, and rye. Peanuts, eggs, and dairy. The only caveat that I have to say is if you're going to follow this, if you read Sarah Godfrey's book or JJ Virgin's book, or you're working with me, eggs, if it's free range and they're organic, you can have them a couple times a week during this 3-week process. So she can only eliminate, I'm only asking her to eliminate these foods for 3 weeks. And then we're going to slowly. I know, right? Now she's been on it. So I actually want to ask you, how have you been doing with it? It's been a couple days. It's been a few days.
Well, people are definitely walking in wider circle.
Funny. Oh my gosh.
Couple of days. I've been a little cranky, a little hangry, mm-hmm. wanting mm-hmm. Snickers bar. But, you know, I mean, I already, believe it or not, within probably 72 hours, have noticed already an energy increase.
Okay.
But I didn't know if that was motivated just by being hungry or detoxification. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I could already tell within about 3 to 4 days that there is a difference. First couple of days, I definitely was focusing on food. Like, people look like food. People look like things that I wanted.
That is hilarious.
I was hallucinating. But
that is hilarious.
The last day or so, it's gotten better. I'm definitely not as cranky as I was, and it's only been 4 days. So
right.
You know, I love the word hangry. That's always great.
Hangry.
I know.
So hangry.
But, you know, to let our listeners know and to reiterate with Susie, she can have as much fruit. I don't care about the sugared fruit at this point. She can have as much fruit. She can have as much beef, chicken, turkey, fish.
Mm-hmm.
She can have as many vegetables as she wants. She can also have cashews and almonds and things like that. So she's not starving herself because she can eat all she wants. She can eat all she wants of those foods.
Yeah, and it's definitely like, I mean, it's eating those is that my body, what I'm learning very quickly, just like any type of drug addiction or anything like that, that sugar is your body's addicted to it, and you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could tell what being broken down. And so the first 48 hours, I was like, whoa, what is this?
Did you get headaches?
You know, a little bit, but, you know, remember, I'm fighting a cold, so I couldn't quite tell, you know, what was going on. I mean, I work with food. I work with food every day. I work with food that's not healthy every day.
Yeah.
You know, and so baking desserts and being around bread and you know, thankfully where I work, I can have chicken or beef or something like that that's not been infused with anything. It's just chicken. It's just beef. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Without extras. And I have apples and strawberries and oranges and bananas. You know, so these are things that I'm eating throughout the day. And I noticed that my energy has gotten stronger.
Good.
48 hours. It was, I borderline homicidal. So borderline, like I had to put myself in timeout and go to bed.
That's funny. You know, okay, so that's basically the food. That is the food to reset your hormones. Those seven foods, those seven no-no foods is it. Now, during these 3 weeks, Chris and I are encouraging Susie not to really exercise, but to move. I'll never forget, Susie said, last time we had her on the show, she said a body in motion stays in motion. And ever since she said that, that's kind of almost my motto in life. So thank you for that. But I don't want her going to the gym, you know, really going full out. I just want her walking. And you walk, what, 5 to 6 miles a day?
Yes.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It, just alone in my job, especially on a weekend, you know, I count my steps and I texted them to you about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think one day that was like 5.9 miles just at work.
Exactly. So we don't want her working out. We want her to move. We want her to walk. But these 3 weeks, because the energy levels, you know, are going to be all over the place. We want you to move. We want you to walk. Exactly. Now, if you do go to the gym and you're like, I have to go to the gym, that's fine. Just don't go big at the gym during these 3 weeks. Now, at the end of the 3 weeks, this is going to be a completely different conversation with Susie. So I want our listeners, you know, obviously we're going to have her on every 4 to 6 weeks for an update. Our little segment with Susie is what we're going to call it. So kind of as we're winding this interview down, before we have you on again, do you have any questions for me or Chris about this? Or you're set, you know, but because if you have a question... then our listeners have a question.
Pretty cut and dry, you know? I mean, you know, it's easier to say, just like you told me before, let's just tell you what you can have, not what you can't have.
Yes.
Because that's also a mindset. So to be able to tell me what I'm allowed to eat and what, you know, that's just right there is mind over matter to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, these are all, you know, food's meant to be for energy, and you know, I have definitely crossed that threshold of energy to pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And the pleasure part, as I'm not getting any younger, as we know, at 45 years old,
mm-hmm.
That pleasure part is now becoming indicative to my health. And it's just a reality check. And, you know, so far, so good. Like I said, first 48 hours, hangry. Felt like I wanted to hit this bar to change my personality.
Yeah.
but then, like, even this morning, I woke up and the energy level of waking up is just different already, if that makes any sense.
Good. And the only thing I want to let you and our audience, our listeners, know that because of these seven foods that you can't eat, We all know that most of us are vitamin D deficient. And since you get vitamin D from dairy and eggs, you may want to supplement with a multivitamin if you already yes. don't, which you shouldn't. But vitamin D is such an important vitamin. Again, you can get it from the sun, which is an amazing way to get vitamin D. But since so much of us are vitamin D deficient, you may want to supplement during these 3 weeks if you don't already mm-hmm. do so. So that's my little disclaimer for this 3 weeks for Susie and everybody else.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Chris.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, thank you so much, Susie. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for your willingness to continue on and allow us to have you on the show. I know your story, a lot, and many people can identify with it, and your progress is going to be an inspiration to everyone. The fact that you're embarking on this is inspiration to me individually, and so really appreciate your willingness to be here.
And I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
With that being said, we saved the best for last. So we are all out of time for this segment of our radio show. We will be back with you on February the 20th. And you can catch our radio show at www.uptomeradio.com. And if, we would love for you to reach out with questions, and the group participation would be wonderful. You can reach out to us at a healthier point of view podcast, uptomeradio.com. Again, thank each of you for being here today. We thank each of you for being here today, and can't wait for the next segment. Until then, have a healthy week. Goodbye, everybody.